Can the church say, "Worthy is the Lamb"?
Worthy is the Lamb.
Just wave your hands in the presence of God and declare, "Worthy is the Lamb."
Worthy is the Lamb.
Powerful ministry. Hallelujah. Coming from the senior choir. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we are standing in your presence even now. Speak your word to us, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. We are focusing on the theme, All or Nothing. And I want for us to turn our Bibles back to the readings from Genesis, Matthew, and Peter. I want to begin by saying that a steward is a person that is responsible for managing the property and affairs of others. And in the case of the reading from Genesis, Elijah, he had a lot to manage for Abraham because Abraham was very rich. And in Genesis chapter 13 verse 2 it says, Now Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and gold. And Elijah himself mentioned how great a responsibility he had as he spoke of the way in which his master Abraham had been blessed by God. I am Abraham's servant, he said, and the Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich and has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. So my brothers and sisters, Elijah was responsible to oversee Abraham's flocks and herds, money, and all the other servants plus the camels and donkeys. It was his job to ensure that the household and business ran smoothly and profitably. And so as a steward, we are called this morning to serve God wholeheartedly. It is all or nothing. Say all or nothing. No matter what Abraham had placed in Elijah's hands, Elijah was found to be faithful and dependable in promoting his master's best interest. I bring you Elijah, and I bring him to your attention because today he is an ideal example for all of us to imitate. In 1 Peter 4 verse 10, we are told that we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, recognizing that everything belongs to God. Say, everything belongs to God. And when we read in Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 14, Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Even though God owns all things, he entrusts us with a portion of his possession. And in God's manifold grace, he grants to us all that we have and enjoy in this life. And we are God's stewards. We are called to manage what God has given to us faithfully. Say faithfully, somebody.
Faithfully.
Be good stewards of the manifold grace that God has given to us. And we may ask ourselves the question, on what basis are we judged as good or as bad stewards? In verse 11 of Peter, we are told that we are to be good stewards. When we have been given what God has given us to do, we must promote it to God's best interest, and so that in all things, God may be glorified. Say, God needs to be glorified. Please note with me, my brothers and sisters. First, in Peter declares that each of us has been given a gift. Every one of us, we have been given a special gift. There is not a single member here in Meadowbrook United Church who has not received a gift from God. Every one of us, God has entrusted us with a gift, and we must use it for the advancement of God's kingdom. We all have received gifts to serve one another in the church, And these gifts grant us the ability to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters. Each gift, therefore, represents a ministry that God has called us to perform within the congregation. Only as we actively employ our special gift, we are good stewards of the manifold grace of the Almighty God. The Apostle Paul admonishes us to be faithful in the use of our gifts. And in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, he says, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." We all have received gifts from God, and each gift is important. None is more important than the other. And only when every member actively uses their gift that God's glory can be manifested in the lives of God's people. In Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, we are to grow in all aspects unto him, who is the head of even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Are we using our gifts? Ask your neighbor, are you using your gifts to glorify God? Are we performing the ministry that God has called us to? We will be judged, my brothers and sisters, by how faithful we use our gifts, as much as how diligently we live the life of righteousness and worship God properly. Jesus says in Matthew 25, 14 to 30, "For the kingdom is just like a man going on a journey, and he called his slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded them with and gave 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who received 2 went and traded his talents and he gained 2. But the one that received 1 talent went away and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received 5 gained 5 more. He said, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful, and I will make you ruler over many things.' The one received 2 gained 2 more. And his master replied, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful, and I will make you ruler over many things.' The one who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Master, I know that you are a hard man, and I went and I hid your talent.' And God said to him, 'Thou foolish servant.' And he took it from him and gave to the one with 5 who have now received 10. For to everyone who has received more, more shall be given unto him. For to everyone who has been given shall receive in abundance. But from whom the one who does not have, even what he does have, shall be taken away and cast out into worthless slave, into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." God needs more of us. It is total stewardship. It is all or nothing. Say all or nothing.
Nothing.
There is a story about a drill servant, or sergeant, sorry, who was putting his troops through some rigorous training. "Lie on your backs," he barked. "Raise your legs. Now move them as if you're riding a bicycle." And I know some of us beginning to do that in our minds. At this last command, there was one soldier who held his leg motionless. "What's your problem?" he shouted. I'm coasting downhill, answered the man. The sad reality is that the church, after just a few rigorous training, is coasting downhill. The church, after a few rigorous training, is sitting back and coasting downhill. When we finish one big project, we don't want to continue and move on to the next project. And I'm not speaking so much about Meadowbrook, but the church of God. But we have got to push full steam ahead. Instead, we want to sit back, relax, and coast downhill. And when we are successful with one endeavor, we want to bask in the ambience of that success instead of moving towards the next successful venture that God has in store for us. Can somebody say, I am moving forward with God? And God is calling us this morning to move away from our state of complacency and to recognize that there is work to be done, for the harvest is surely plenteous, but the laborers are few. The job of the church, my brothers and sisters, is not to impact the church, but to impact the world. And I want to call us back into full service action. Say full service action. I want to call us back into full service action, because God needs more of you. God needs more of me. It is all or nothing. Our job is to go outside of the church and make a difference in our communities. The challenge for the church is not what we do. It's not what we do when we call our Sunday morning huddle. The challenge for the church is not what we decide when we call our huddle in board meeting or church conference, but the challenge for the church is what we do after we break our huddle. I want to say to us this morning that God needs more of us individually. God needs more of us collectively, and God needs more of us numerically for the total stewardship on our lives, so God's kingdom can be established. It is all or nothing. Amen. When we say to God, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily give, I surrender all. Are there just mere words that we utter, or are there words coming from the depths of our hearts that flow through our lips, where God recognizes that we are granting unto him true worship? But what God desires this morning are those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. True worshipers who will say, God, it is all about you. It is all or nothing. True worshipers who will say, I'm sold out for Jesus. I am sold out for God. Do I have a witness in here this morning? God needs more of us individually. And everyone in the church is different. Everyone has a skill. Everyone have likes and dislikes. Everyone in the church has a purpose that is designed by God just for them. And even our Lord Jesus Christ, he had a purpose and a mission. Say mission. Ask your neighbor, what is your mission? He had an individual mission because God needed him to work individually. His mission could be fulfilled by nobody but him. And in order for him to fulfill his mission, he had to take responsibility for his own actions and make himself accountable to God. Touch your neighbor and say, be accountable to God. Tell somebody, be accountable to God. And that's why we hear Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. He was telling God, it is not about me, but it's about you, Jesus. Somebody declare, it's about you, God. Somebody declare, it's about you, God. Individually, Jesus had to endure suffering and hardship. Individually, Jesus had to place the weight of the world upon his shoulder. Individually, Jesus had to travel from place to place, healing the sick and raising the dead. Individually, Jesus had to cause miracles to happen so that people would believe in him and believe in God. Individually, Jesus had to challenge the religious scholars who were all about themselves and not about God's glory. The writer says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, for it's all about you. Somebody lift your hands and declare, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, because it's all about you. It is all or nothing. Shout all or nothing. And so when we give to God, do we give to God what God desires and deserves? Or do we give to God what we feel like giving to God? When we give all our praise, do we give God praise wholeheartedly? Do we give God our time? Do we give God our finances and our resources? It is all or nothing. Amen. And in our text, Jesus was completing a part of his individual assignment as he was traveling to the cities of the area, teaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. Wherever he went, he would heal the people of all sorts of diseases and infirmities. He was on an individual divine assignment. And just like Jesus, when we pick up the bloodstained banner, we are on assignment, divine assignment. When we pick up the bloodstained banner, we have got to fulfill our individual assignment. That assignment may require each of us individually to go through some suffering and hardship, but count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, because God is with you. Tell somebody, God is with you. That assignment may require each of us to lay hands on the sick and to call to life those who are spiritually dead. That assignment may even require of us as individuals to pray in such a way that the heavens are opened and that God begins to act. That assignment calls us into motion. Amen. Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition. Take up your cross and follow me. Have I got a witness here? But even as Jesus realized that there was more work to do, he could handle by himself. He realized that there were many sheep running around in a state of confusion because they had no shepherd. And so he called his disciples to push to a collective initiative. That brings me to the next point. God needs more of us collectively. Say collectively. Collectively. What I have learned a long time ago is that I can't lift up a car by myself. None of us can lift up a car by ourselves. But we need help. Neither can we push a car by ourselves, but we need help to do so. If I have just a few willing and able strong people on our side, we can move mountains. But my brothers and sisters, we must always remember that we are here on earth to advance the kingdom of the Savior. It is never about us, but it's about lifting up the name of Jesus. Our individual glory is irrelevant. Our personal accolades when it comes to God's kingdom are insignificant. It is all about Jesus. That means we are dependent on each other. My accomplishments depend on you succeeding. Your success depends on how well I do my part. We are individuals, but we have a collective work to do in the church. The Apostle Paul related this concept to the workings of our own bodies. And in verses 4 and 5 of the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul writes, just as your body have many parts, and each part has a specific function. So it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all part of one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs each other. We need each other. We are dependent on one another. I can't make it unless you make it. You can't make it unless I make it. And this is a concept that we have to get into our heads. And so God needs more of us individually. God needs more of us collectively. But God needs more of us numerically. The church of God must advance. The church of God must grow. And when God sent his disciples in the world, he sent them with a mission and a purpose. Go and make disciples unto all nations. It is said that 3,000 souls were added to the church after Pentecost. When last have we added souls to the membership in God's kingdom at Meadowbrook? We have a work to do. I understand that it's not about us, because the increase comes from God. But God is depending on every one of us to reach the lost and the dying, those who are outside of God and Christ, to win them in for the advancement of God's kingdom. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The church needs more of us numerically. In other words, it needs more people to provide service in the church. It needs more people that are willing to go out to visit the sick and the shut-in. It needs more people who are willing to go out and evangelize all those who don't know the Lord. He needs more people who are willing to serve on as ushers and to serve on the elders' board, to work with the church school, the boys' brigade and the girls' brigade, the youth fellowship and young Christian forum. He needs more people to work in men and women's fellowship. He needs more people in his church. He needs more people who are willing to sing in the choir. Those who are willing to work in the kitchen. He needs more people who don't mind staying for afternoon programs and supporting the church. He even needs more people who are willing to be service to the pastors. It seems like most churches operate at the expense of the remnant. You know what the remnant is? The faithful few. There could be 400 or 500 members on the roll, but only 50 show up and support the work of church and its mission. And most churches operate with just a handful of people doing all the work. Although everybody's trying to get the credit, oh, it's my church at Meadowbrook, but we don't do anything to advance the kingdom of God. Most churches operate with just a handful of people who are willing to make a sacrifice. They are here Sunday morning. They are here Sunday night. They are here Monday morning. They are here Monday night. They are here until Saturday morning. And they come back Sunday morning again. You know yourselves, God will honor you. Most churches operate with just a handful of people who are willing to make a sacrifice, not only financially, but of their time and their talents and abilities. But on the second day of June 2013, God is calling men and women to active duty. Say active duty. Is drafting you into service. Say drafting you into service. Now is the time to step up to the plate. Now is the time when we say to God, I'm giving my all to you, Jesus. Now is the time when we say to God, God, I am not holding back. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Is there a witness in the house this morning? There is a story of a preacher who said that when he was growing up, there was a group at church called the Willing Workers. They got in where they could fix everything. Whatever needed to be done, if it wasn't assigned to anybody else, the Willing Workers would pick it up and do it. And that's what God needs in his church, Willing Workers. He needs some willing workers at Meadowbrook who will say it is all or nothing, who will say it's all for Jesus. I'm sold out for Christ, no matter what the cost. I am sold out for Christ. Somebody say, I'm sold out for Christ. Lift your hands and declare, I'm sold out for Christ.
Hallelujah.
It's difficult for some people to say it because they're sold out to something else. We have got a few people who have already made up their minds that they are willing to work until the Lord comes. There are those who are willing to work until they die. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God needs a few more good men and women who are willing to join the fight. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few, and some of the few are lazy. He needs more. And are willing to give more of themselves. It is all or nothing. My sisters and brothers, God needs more of you. God needs more of me. He needs more of us individually, collectively, financially, numerically. And even as we are called to surrender all to God, what about our time to God? God needs our gift, but what about our time? Room for pleasure, room for business, but none for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the hearts for which he died. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:15-16, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Are we good stewards, investing time in the activities that promote God's interest and glory? Are we investing time in activities that will pay dividends in eternity? Or are we wasting valuable time that God has bestowed to us? How much time do we devote to drawing closer to God? How much time do we give ourselves to prayer and the study of the word? Is there really anything more vital than depending and strengthening our relationship with God? For those of us who were here 2 Saturdays ago, we'd have been clothed and bathed in God's Holy Spirit and in God's righteousness. I'm talking about those who are here for the prayer and fasting. I encourage us this month to come out and to seek God's face. For God says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will heal their land, and save them from all unrighteousness. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As I come down, what about our money? How do we give to God? It is easy for us to forget that what we think of as our money is actually God's money. In Ezekiel 16:17 and in Haggai chapter 2 verse 8, God says the income which we have given is given to us by our master to meet our basic needs, but above all, to promote his interest and his glory. Amen. In order to be good stewards of the money that God has entrusted us with, we need to ask ourselves 3 questions. First, do we use God's money righteously? Do we use God's money prudently? And do we contribute an amount to God's kingdom? My sisters and brothers, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, No concerning the collection of saints. As I directed the church in Galatia, I do to you also. On the first day of every week, let every one of you put aside and save as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. But when we go about determining how much we are to give, we frequently focus on the phrase, as he may prosper. God calls us to give our best. It is all or nothing. Amen. I want to share the final story. It is a story about a boy who had two quarters. One for ice cream and one for church offering. Unfortunately, he accidentally dropped one of the quarters in the storm sewer. Well, Lord, the boy said, that's your quarter. We are tempted to be like the little boy. After we have done all, we come and we say to God, well, God, you know, add up. Or that's your quarter. We get our check and divide it up for this and that. And we find we have little or nothing left over for God. And we say, sorry, God, maybe we can give more next week. God calls that robbery. In Malachi 3, 8 to 12, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But he say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, he said. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. But bring ye the tithes and the offering, that there be meat enough in my house. And prove me now, said the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on your life, that there shall be room not enough to contain it. Do I have a witness in here? Somebody who knows about the windows of heaven. You see, God has a way of doing God's things. And so when we give to God, God will give to us. God will bless us. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind us this morning that you may be thinking that we can give to God, but there is something that is hindering us from giving our best. Let each of us purpose in our hearts to say to God on this day that God, as a good steward, I am willing to make a fresh start in my life. To say to God, I am putting aside my interest and I'm dedicating my life to the glory and honor of your work, for it's all or nothing. Amen. God is saying to us this morning, Meadowbrook, it is all or nothing. We are called to surrender, to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Not to be ashamed to say that we know him, but to count the cost to take up the cross and follow him. I want for us to declare today, lift your hands with me if you can in the sanctuary of God. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Daily give. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You have made a promise to God today. And it is all or nothing. And God is depending on us. For us not to hold back. But to serve him wholeheartedly. As we make this commitment to God. Stand with me if you can. As we declare, I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me, organist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I will serve thee
because I love thee.
Because I love thee.
You have given life to me.
You have given life to me.
I was nothing.
I was nothing.
Before you found me.
Before you found me.
You have given life to me.
You have given life to me.
Heartaches.
Heartaches.
And broken pieces.
Broken. Growing lies
are
why
you died on Calvary.
Died on